Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Welcome to Second Baptist Church, and thank God for you and the opportunity to gather together today to worship together. My name is Chris. I get the privilege to serve as senior pastor here, and we just want to say welcome to any of our guests that are here in person or online. We want to let you know that we would love to connect with you. There's a couple different ways that we can do that. First, if you're here in person, there's a card in the pew back in front of you that says guest, and we'd love for you to fill that out. At the end of service, you can give that to some of our greeters or staff at the end, and we have a gift just to say, hey, thanks for joining us. Or you can go online to our website, sbcr.org. There's a button that says, I'm new. Fill that out, and that'd just be a way for us to connect with you, know how we might be able to better serve you, and we'd love it if you were able to do that. Well, a lot of different things have been happening and going on, and Lord's been blessing in some ways. Just one quick announcement, we are resuming all of our activities again this week. We took a break during Thanksgiving. Hope that you had a great time celebrating that in whatever way you were able to. We will have service tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to spend some time praying, especially just for some really specific needs within our church family tonight at 5 o'clock. So I hope that you'll make plans to be with us. And then regular activities resume on Wednesday. Make plans to be here. And then I also want to make you aware, on December the 12th at 5 p.m., we are having our second family Thanksgiving Christmas meal together, all right? So we put it in between, we put it in the middle, because we know a lot of you cook for Thanksgiving and a lot of you cook for Christmas, and so rather than trying to have both and right on top of those holidays, we put it in the middle just to hopefully create a little bit of reprieve from all those cooking duties that you already have. The church will provide the meat, and so we need you to help provide sides and desserts and cheesecake and self-addressed to pass. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. But anyway, hope that you'll make plans. December 12th, 5 o'clock, let's come together and enjoy a meal together as a family and just rejoice in what God is doing and has done amongst His people. And so, make plans to be here. As we get ready to just focus our heart in time of prayer, Psalm 149 says this, says, Hallelujah, sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the faithful. I believe that's what we have here today. We don't have all of it, but today we have gathered together as an assembly of God's faithful people. And so we want to sing to the Lord, we want to worship the Lord and glorify Him with our voice and with our focus and our heart this morning. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You and thank You for Your goodness and grace. And Lord, I pray that God, all that's said and done here this morning would glorify You. God, I pray that You would help us to calm our hearts and minds and really focus in on You and what You have for us. I pray as we sing this morning, we would be in a spirit and attitude of worship. God, that You be glorified among Your people. Lord, we love You and we praise You and we thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Just stand as we sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Think of the advent of Jesus.
And tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, and tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And we are going to be looking at verses 8 through 12. And continuing our series on faith, we are after this week, going to hit pause on this series for a few weeks. We will come back and pick it up, but we are going to, beginning next week, begin to turn our focus toward Christmas and the birth narrative of Jesus and the names associated around the birth of Jesus. And so looking forward to that series beginning next week. And so this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, I want to preach to you this message that I've titled Immeasurable Faith. And we are walking through this. We have first two verses, this definition of the faith, of faith is the things that we hope for, the things not yet seen. And then we have these incredible examples of individuals who walked with God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Last week we looked at the story of Noah and the ark and how God used that, and God used Noah's faith as a preacher of righteousness and believed God and trusted God in spite of everything around. And then this week we are looking at 8 through 12, this immeasurable faith and this story with Abraham and Sarah. And so, Hebrews 11, 8, if you found your place, would you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children or receive power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she was considered that the one, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as innumerable as the grains of the sand along the seashore. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for the faith of these saints. And I pray, God, you would help us to learn from these, learn from your word, be challenged by your word, be inspired to be faithful to you, to follow you, Lord Jesus, that you may be glorified in and through our life. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about immeasurable faith this morning and dig into the text and allow the Word of God to speak to us. The main idea, if you're taking notes this morning, is this, is obedient faith in God leads to an immeasurable impact. Obedient faith, there's the key, right? Obedient faith. And we've talked about this recently. We've talked about, and last week you used the illustration of having a gas tank, if you will, a tank of faith. And God's not interested in just filling up our tank of faith for it to just sit and not be used, for it to just make us feel good about ourselves and not make an impact in our lives, in our everyday lives. And so that's the main idea again this morning, is that obedient faith in God leads to this, an immeasurable impact. Now look, that's going to look different for all types of people and everyone everywhere that's following the Lord, and none of us have the same impact in terms of looking identical. We're going to look at these two examples of Abraham and Sarah and what God did in their lives. But I genuinely believe God's desire is for us to actively live out our faith in such a way that He will use us for His kingdom and His glory in such a way that it can't be measured. And so then the question for you this morning, is God at work in immeasurable ways in your life? Is God at work in immeasurable ways in your life? I realize sometimes it's hard to know. It's hard to see when we're in the moment, when we're walking in those difficult days or we're walking in the good days, to know exactly what God may be doing. And the reality is many of us will never know the impact that our lives have this side of heaven. But I also believe that you and I ought to be living in such a way, there ought to be some fruit along the way in which God is at work in and around our lives. And so with that, I want us to dig into the text and look at some really important truth that I believe that the author has for us here out of this text. So number one, our faith must make an impact in our lives. Our faith must make an impact in our lives. There's three different ways, I believe the author points out, the way that this impact ought to happen in our lives. So A is this, our faith ought to impact where we go. Our faith impacts where we go. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. Notice this. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. And the women in the room said, that sounds like a typical man. Right? I knew there'd be one somewhere, all right? But here's a man that God wanted to use. We're introduced into Abraham in Genesis and seems to be a man that's following God, that's chasing after God, that is walking with God, a consistent theme throughout this chapter especially. And God was at work in his life, and God had a major plan and purpose for Abraham. Now, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to see him in this text, and his name is a little shorter at this point, Abram, okay? But Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, listen to what it says. The Lord said to Abram, go, notice this, go from your land, your relatives and your father's house, look at this, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? Now, listen, it makes us feel good because we know the ending of the story, right? We've read the Bible, and we understand that Abram goes, God blesses him, God works, he's the father of many nations, and he's in Hebrews 11, God used him in a great, all this sort of thing. But now I want you to back up. Abram, at this point, tells us he's 75 years old. Even though folks were living a little longer then, that's still not a young man. He pretty well established at 75. And here he is, and God shows up and says, listen, I want you to go. He says, I want you to go from your homeland, go from your own, all these things go from, but I'll show you where to go. Just get up and leave and take off. Bible says it doesn't give us anything else, any other direction. Now, as he goes out and he is faithful, man, God shows him. Shows him an area, right? Shows him a promised land. Shows him where he wants him to be. God meets his needs along the way. And God blesses and multiplies him. All these things that he leaves behind, God gives him immeasurably more than he had there. And church, I just want you to see this morning. This important fact is that the faith of Abraham impacted where he lived. It impacted his address. You go, man, what does that mean for us? Listen, I'm not saying necessarily that God is calling you to leave your address where you're at, but here's what I'm telling you, friend, is that sometimes God is working and God is moving and God is wanting to do some things in your life. He's maybe even wanting you to transition in life, and man, you want the full detail laid out in front of you, but the reality is God's just telling you to go. He's not ready to tell you where you're going to end up or where you're going to be. That's a really tough step. It's really hard. But until we're ready to put our yes on the table, until we're ready to take the step of faith, man, we're in a position where we're paused, where we're holding, where we're not really trusting the Lord. But here's Abraham, and responsible for all these things that he has and all these individuals, all these people that are with him, and God shows up and he says, go. And as I read this and was reminded even this morning of the passage of Isaiah when he sees the throne room of heaven and God says, who will I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Man, and I just wonder this morning, if some of us are at a place that we're not supposed to be, or we're at a place where God is moving us, or knowing there's a day coming that you've got to step out in faith. You've got to go and be obedient. See, your faith impacts where you live. And I know where we are, we get really comfortable. We get really tied down to where we are and our comfort level, all this sort of thing. But friends, there is an entire big world out there, and most of them do not know Jesus. And I just wonder, some of you students, some of you kids, I wonder if God might one day call you and send you to the nations. And that one day you go, man, I put my yes on the table and God will fill that blank in. God's going to send me places and take me places to tell men, women, boys, and girls about Jesus. Our faith impacts where we go. B, our faith impacts how we live. It impacts how we live. Listen to verse 9. Look at this. By faith he stayed, look at this, as a foreigner, mark or underline foreigner, in the land of promise. Look, living in, mark or underline this, tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. So God promised, God says, hey, go. He shows him a land. He's faithful. He goes. And man, God is at work. And if you remember the story, he takes his nephew Lot with him and they go. And God gives them a big picture of this. And so they realize they've got so many people, so much livestock, so much going on that they go, man, we can't continue to live together. We need to separate. We need some distance so that you can continue to be blessed and I can continue and all this sort of thing. And so then that's when Lot looks out and he picks the luscious green land. And I don't have time to preach that, but he goes and we have Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he leaves, and God shows up, meets Abraham, and says, listen, don't worry about it. I know that he picked what looked like was the best land, but I've got something for you. And that's where he shows him the promised land. That's where he shows him his inheritance and all that he wants to do. But I want you to think about this. This was a man that brought his nephew with him. God's hand was on him, and they're blessing and livestock and employees and family, all this sort of thing around him. Now, it's not immediate family yet, right? But God is at work. God is blessing. And they have to separate, but now I want you to think about this in verse 9. It says he lived as a foreigner and he lived in a tent. Abraham and Sarah were not hurting financially. They had a lot. They had a lot of resources. And here they are. They show up in this land that God has given them. And the Bible says he continued to live in a tent. Listen, Abraham could have built a very nice place. He could have had the dream, right? The 4-bedroom house and 2.5 bath and the carport, all that stuff, right? But he lives in a tent. Why? Because I think that according to this, what the Bible teaches us is that Abraham knew, although he was willing to go wherever God sent him, but it impacted how he lived. Abraham wasn't ready to dig his heels in and get all the things that he could and put his roots down so deep that God couldn't move him. Listen to me, church. Isn't that exactly how we are? That, man, we find our corner of the world and we find our corner of life. We find our job of life. We find our church of life and all those sorts of things. We dig our roots in so deep that it's as if we're living for this world and what this world has to offer, and this job has to promote me and this church has to provide me, that we're not even willing to accept, man, that we're just temporary. We're just pilgrims passing through. Listen. And our faith has to impact the way that we live. We get so tied down to debt, so tied down to all sorts of things in life that when God moves and wants us to give, we're not able to give because we got so many bills to pay. We got so many things to take care of. We're so rooted in this world that I believe God wants to use us exponentially more than he is right now. But our faith is not in a distant land, in a holy God, but it's in what we can provide. And we are limiting ourselves. We're robbing ourselves of what God wants to do. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. Genesis 12:8 tells us this: from there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. Look at this. He built an altar of the Lord there and he called on the name of the Lord. You remember Lot. Lot moved to close to Sodom and Gomorrah, pitched his tent. But the problem is he got closer and closer and he got more entrenched in the things of the world and the wickedness of those cities. So much so that they are synonymous with being wiped off face of the earth, being enemies of God. You look at Lot's life and Lot had a lot of things that Abraham could have easily provided himself. But you look at the drastic difference when Abraham showed up, and the angel showed up rather to lots and how wicked the city was and how entrenched they were in the community and all those sorts of things and what was happening. But I read this description and I think about, here's Abraham, could have provided himself with whatever the world had to offer. He lived in a tent. And it's described here, built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord. Where Abraham was, he could meet God. Come on, somebody. Why? It's because of his faith in a holy God. It impacted his address, and it impacted how he lived. And if you and I are really honest this morning, some of us, it's been a long time since we've met God. It's because our faith hasn't impacted how we're living. Our American culture has impacted more of how we're living than a holy God, than a kingdom citizenship. And so, our faith impacts how we live. Acts chapter 7, 5 through 7 is described this way, or he talking about it this way. And he didn't give him an inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground, but he promised to give it to him as a possession. And to his descendants after him, even though he was childless. God spoke in this way. His descendants would be strangers in a foreign country, and they would enslave and oppress them for 400 years. Notice, and I will judge the nation that they will serve as slaves, God said. After this, they will come out and worship me in this place. God promised him a great inheritance, and Abraham believed God. And in C, our faith impacts what we live for. Our faith impacts what we live for. Where we live, how we live, and then what we live for. This is the why. Okay? Look at verse 10. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Man, that's poetry right there. He's looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I was reading in my Bible time this morning, time in the Word, and the book of Revelation, and the new city and the new Jerusalem and all these sorts of things, and the incredible amounts of what we would consider like expensive jewels and all these precious stones, all these sorts of things, and they're just commonplace in the new city. They're just commonplace in the what God has put together and all that sort of thing. And here it is that Abraham, you go, man, he was given this vast land and this incredible promise, and yet he's living in a tent. Living in a tent, okay? I mean, this isn't even Ozark Trails two-bedroom tent, okay? He's living in a tent there and just trying to believe God, and he builds an altar and he worships God. The Bible here, that is claimed, man, that's where he met God. And you go, man, how in the world would an incredibly wealthy, rich man be doing this? It's because Abraham knew his why. That he was not living to become king of some province. He was not living to be have all the accolades thrown on him for all the surrounding regions. You remember, he didn't even want kings of other countries to give him what he rightly deserved, because he did not want them to have any claim to anything in his life. But rather, he was so trusting, so believing in God. Why? Because he said, listen, as I look around, my eyes aren't fixed on what's here. My eyes aren't fixed on what's there, but my eyes are looking beyond the Jordan. My eyes are looking to a hope and a promised land that nobody can take, because it is God's and God's alone. Listen to me, dear friend. You and I are struggling in our faith because we're looking to our social media. You and I are struggling in our faith because we're looking to a governor's house going, man, why can't you fix this? You and I are struggling in our faith because we're we're looking to a medical community to give us all the answers. You and I are struggling in our faith because we're looking to a White House to have all the right policies. But let me tell you, dear friend, you and I need to believe in a holy God and trust in a holy God. Let it impact where we live, let it impact how we live, and let it impact why we live. You and I serve a holy God. We are gathered today to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you and I, our tank may be filled up with faith, that we can go out and live for the glory of God. Because listen, dear friend, we are living for a place whose maker and builder is God. Oh, man. Why is it we get so distracted by the things of the world? Why is it we get sucked in by Sodom and Gomorrah? We're just pilgrims, just foreigners in a land. So listen, this ain't home. Thank you, Jesus. This ain't home. And there's coming a day. But the problem is that for some of us, it's like we're just trying to survive to get that day, to get to that day. But I believe God wants us to believe and trust Him in such a way today that you don't live just to get to that day, but you live for that day. There's a big difference. Just barely getting through, barely surviving, barely, because we're all this junk. But when you wake up tomorrow and you go, you know what, one day He's going to call me home and I'm going to live today for that day. That's a life with purpose and a life with meaning and a life with impact. And so our faith ought to make an impact on our lives, all right? Number two, our faith goes beyond our circumstances. Goes beyond our circumstances. Look at verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Whoever the author is here had to be really smart, because even here he didn't say Sarah was old, right? Put it gently, she was past the age. Big difference, all right? Men, learn from this, all right? Be careful. Be careful with your words. But our faith goes beyond our circumstances. So here's the deal, is that God wants to bless. God wants to provide. God wants to give them this inheritance. He's going to be a father of many nations. And how's that possible? He doesn't have any children. So Genesis 18, listen to this. Abraham and Sarah were old. You got to put them together. You can't just say Sarah, right? And getting on in years, there's Sarah. She's not old, she's getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So she laughed to herself. After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I have delight? But the Lord asked Abraham, he promised, hey, you're going to have a child. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, can I really have a baby when I'm old? Is anything possible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son. Listen, you want to talk about not such great circumstances. In case you're not aware, Sarah's about 90 years old, and Abraham's 100. That was an interesting baby shower invitation. Right? Like, who got that? Husband got it first. Sweetie, you got to come read this. All the circumstances look like this was not possible. they were today, I'm sure they'd have a medical community tell them, not wise. Not a good thing to do. Tell them all the medical complications. Psychologists would tell them how much energy they don't have and they're not fit to and all these sorts of things. Everybody in the world would have some opinion on this of why it's not right or good or circumstances aren't fitting, etc. But friend, as I read through the Bible, that seems to be when God shows up the most. Is when all the human circumstances point to that's not going to happen or that's not right, that's not what's best. And God shows up and says, let me show you humans something. And he works and he moves and he does the miraculous. In church, I have no idea what God may want to do in your life, individually. I've got some thoughts about what I believe God wants to do as a church family. He wants to use us as a neighborhood church and use us to impact Russellville and impact the nations. And you look around and go, you know what? There aren't as many people in the pews. And there's not this and there's not that. And we haven't done all these sorts of things. But friends, I'm just crazy enough to believe that the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and Sarah, is the same God who wants to work and move today in your life, in the life of our church. And I believe is the same God that can work in our nation and send a great revival. And you know what's interesting to me? Sarah didn't have the Sunday school response, right? She heard it. Like, she didn't, oh, yes, Lord, you know. Like, she didn't have a real spiritual response. Matter of fact, she laughed. I mean, like, when you got the baby invitation, she laughed like that. But what's fascinating to me, look at the end of verse 11. Because here's the difference in believing God in spite of your circumstance. Look at this. Since she was considered, look at this, that the one who had promised was faithful. God is bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know marriage issues, family issues, church issues, work issues, whatever it is. God is bigger than your circumstances. And what happens is, and you've heard the cliche, right? We begin telling our God about our circumstances rather than our circumstances about how big our God is, right? We get it backwards. We look at this and we hold these circumstances and this really big thing. And then we talk to God as if he's some small God sitting on our altar or our fireman or whatever it is. But listen, dear friend, you and I, we need to take and see how temporary, how little in a lot of way our circumstances are and look to how big our God is. And that's what Sarah did. She didn't have a great response initially, but look what she did. She concluded that her God was faithful. And you and I need the same conclusion this morning. That no matter what's happening in our life, our God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering." Why? Since he who promised is faithful. Listen, I believe that for Second Baptist Church. Don't you? Jesus said this, says, "I will build my church." Last time, this is his. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. And I believe God wants to build his church. And so you and I trusting and believing that, going, man, you know, that all the settings and that, all this sort of thing doesn't look great maybe, but God is faithful. Believe that for your life and the things going on in and around your life, that God is faithful. And so our faith goes beyond our circumstances. And then number three, our faith makes an immeasurable impact. An immeasurable impact. Look at verse 12. Hebrews 11, 12. Therefore, from one man, in fact, don't you love this description? From one as good as dead. That'll bless your heart. Right? I mean, think about it, guys. You got a birthday coming up. Somebody goes and gets you the Hallmark. Maybe this is the 99-cent aisle of the cards, right? You open it up and go, happy birthday to one as good as dead. Because Abraham's still working, like he's still an active man. He's not on his deathbed or whatever, but anyway, maybe you don't find it as funny as I do. But therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as immeasurable as the grains of sand along the seashore. Abraham, 99 years old, God gives him, big promise, 100 child's coming. And the Bible says that God tells him it's going to be stars of the skies, innumerable as the grains of sand along the seashore. Genesis 15:5, we hear this. This is what God speaks to Abraham. He took him outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said, your offspring will be that numerous. Romans 4, 16 through 25, kind of a long passage here, but he comments on some of this. Listen to this. This is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace, to guarantee it to all the descendants, not only the one who is of the law, but also to the one who is of Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed. The one who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. He believed, listen to this, hoping against hope, so that he became the father of many nations according to what has been spoken, so will your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body to be already dead, since he was about 100 years old and also the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver in unbelief, look at this, at God's promise. Circumstances were grim. They were terrible, but he believed God. Look at this, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Listen, your circumstances just give God a bigger platform to get more glory. Because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he is also able to do. Are you convinced of that this morning? What God promises, he's able. Therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, it was credited to him, was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The immeasurable impact that your faith can have, first of all, begins with your faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation. It begins there. But then for those of us that know and have believed in Jesus for our salvation, we are walking a path, a life of faith. Every day, every moment, you and I got to choose time and time and time again to believe God, to trust God, to be convinced, be persuaded that He is able. And to know that I'm not living for this life, but I'm living for that day. I'm not going to get my roots so down deep and so entrenched in the things of the world that God can't move me. God can't work in my life in the way that He wants to. And listen, I'm not saying go put your house on the market today, okay? Like, because for some of us, it may be that just God's wanting to stir us up. We can't move halfway around the world, but we can give in such a way that the gospel can go. We can pray in such a way that God can work. We can, man, be faithful to try to cross the street and talk to our neighbor, to invite our neighbor. We get so locked in and so bogged down in this life that we get really short-sighted and we get to where we're just trying to make it to bedtime. Any parents in the room? Yeah. But man, God wants to do so much more in and through you. And here's the reality. Every day, we believe God and trust Him. We believe God and trust Him. And we believe God and trust Him. And here's the reality. That's our responsibility. That's it. All the impact that happened in Abraham's life was because of God. He didn't tell Abraham, go out and try to have as many kids as the sea and all that sort of thing. He gave him a promise. Abraham believed it. And God did the rest. So you and I, just trusting and believing God, walking by faith, will have an immeasurable impact when we get to the end of our lives. And God will be glorified in that. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You, and we thank You for Your goodness and grace toward us. We thank You for the life and testimony of Sarah and Abraham. God, I pray for any who don't yet know You, God. I pray that for those that have, God, not trusted in You for salvation, I pray You give them grace to confess their sin and place their faith and trust in You. God, I pray for those of us that You're calling us to be uncomfortable and God, take steps of faith and believe what You've promised. God, I pray that You give us grace to lay that at Your feet and be obedient and every day walk by faith. To hold the things of this world loosely. Hold them with open hands. Lord, help us to be faithful to You. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor Chris, I just need to repent and ask the Lord to save me. You just pray right where you're at. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to be the boss and master of your life. Ask Jesus to save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer, but understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's the attitude of your heart. You may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. God in heaven, I pray in these next few moments that we would respond in obedience to You. You remain in an attitude of prayer. Lord dealt with your heart this morning, and maybe you pray and ask the Lord to save you. You want to come and say, Brother Chris, I pray and ask God to save me today. Maybe you just want to come get on this altar and ask God to give you strength to walk by faith today, walk by faith this week. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. So when I pray, we're going to begin to sing, and then you can just come and however the Lord leads you. Jesus, You're good. I pray in this moment that we would respond in obedience to You and to Your Word. I pray in Jesus' name. You remain in an attitude of prayer. And if you want to come and pray, you're welcome to. You need somebody to pray for you, I'd love to. However God spoke to your heart, you move. Thank you. Well, amen. Well, let me just say thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask some of our men if you would go and help us to be able to receive the offering as we depart today. Just again, thank you for being here. I do want to say a special word of thanks to all of you who do such a great job every year giving for our Thanksgiving food boxes. We're able to put together 50 boxes, everything from the turkey all the way to the dressing and desserts, all that sort of thing. We're able to use those to minister to different folks in our community, and had some great responses of individuals who had gotten online and at least indicated that they had prayed to receive Christ. And others that we were able to counsel with and believe we're going to get to share, hopefully, Lord willing, some baptisms soon of individuals who have been saved recently. And so this one, I want you to know, as you give, and even things like a can of corn and you know, whatever it is, or you give today, know that it is going. And that's how we make impact that goes beyond us, that's immeasurable. Those are the kinds of things that we'll never know this side of heaven, the sort of impact it has. So as you give today, however the Lord leads you, just know that you are making an impact for the glory of God. And for some of us, it's a big gift. Some of it's small. Things like just groceries to help go in Thanksgiving food boxes. Just an incredible testimony of how God uses even what we consider maybe small things to make impact in those around our community. All right. So I want to lead us in a word of prayer, ask God to bless our offering and tithes and offerings as we get ready to leave. And I hope you'll be back with us tonight at 5 o'clock. Let's stand together, and I'll lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed, okay? Jesus, you're good. Thank you for today. I pray that you would God bless those that are able to give today. Those that aren't able to give, God, I pray you give them strength and bless them. Lord, I pray that we would give in such a way that bring honor and glory to your name, and you would use it for an immeasurable impact. God, not for our glory, but for yours. And so, God, we thank you for the testimonies that we've heard out of the giving of this past week, and just pray you be glorified in that. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
While shepherds